Good morning, everyone. I'm getting used to this a little bit. Anyway, my message today is we are climbing. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, I thank you for today, and I thank you for all that you've given to us, Lord. Sunshine and just being able to worship you today freely, Lord, your word and just all that you've done for us. I thank you and I praise you for. I pray as we continue to learn more of you today, Lord, that we will truly be encouraged to continue on our Christian journey. I pray and ask all these things in your name. Amen. So we're discussing this month about self-awareness. I would like to pose some self-examination questions about what our purpose is for coming to church, what our purpose is for being a part of the many ministries of this church, and what is the reason for us even having a relationship with God. First, why do we come to church? Is it because we have close family members in the church? Is it because our spouse is a part of the church and we are here just because they're here? What is the purpose or the reasons for our participation in the many ministries of this church? Is it because we want rewards or accolades from others? Is it because we want to bring glory to ourselves and make ourselves look better in the eyes of others? Is being a part of these ministries a means by which we can divide one another or cause division as far as who is doing what and how much they are doing? Is being a part of these ministries a means by which we can criticize and judge others? What is our purpose of having a relationship with God? Is it all about the blessings that He gives us, even when we don't deserve them? Is it all about taking God? Is it all about taking from God rather than giving ourselves to Him wholly and completely? Is having a relationship with God contingent on the fact that we are given material blessings, such as wealth, position, a spouse, friendships, and once those material blessings are taken away, we end up leaving the church and God because we really didn't understand what having a true relationship with God entails? Well, I truly believe that if we're not here at church for the right reasons, if we are part of our church ministries for all the wrong reasons, if we truly don't understand and know what it means to have a true relationship with God, then all of our commitment and efforts are meaningless. We will proclaim as a group of people in Matthew 7, 21 to 23. It says, "Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then God will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You see, this group of people went to church on a consistent basis. They may have been a part of many ministries in the church. You would think they even had a relationship with God at some level. But because they were doing all of the right things for the wrong reasons, God ended up rejecting them. It was all about bringing glory to themselves instead of giving glory to God. It was all about having the material blessings and having a relationship with God instead of giving to God their whole heart and mind and soul. It was all about looking good in the eyes of others rather than showing love, care, and compassion to those they were ministering to. I sincerely believe that in order for us as God's people to not be a part of this group, we must be aware of the true reason why we are here in this church, why we are part of the ministries of this church, and why we should have a relationship with God. The true reason why we are here can be found in the two great commandments in the Bible. It is found in Matthew 22, 37 to 40. Matthew 22, 37 to 40. It says, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Here we see that this is the true reason why we're here. This is the reason why we participate in the ministries of this church. This is the reason why we strive to have a true relationship with God. The reason is to show our love for God with all of our heart, our mind, and soul, and to show our love for our neighbor even as we love ourselves. Our love for God and our love for others, this is the reason why we live here on this earth, to be able to truly demonstrate that love, not to bring glory to ourselves and to look better than others, but to demonstrate our love for God, for all he has done for us, and to demonstrate our love for our fellow men. Amen? And I also truly and sincerely believe that in order for us as God's people not to be a part of the group found in Matthew 7, we must strive to attain to the standard that God wants us to attain in our lives. This standard is found in Matthew 5, 38 to 48. Matthew 5, 38 to 48. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your heavenly Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what more do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Here we see that the high standard that God desires us to attain is for us to be perfect even as he is perfect. Now we may ask ourselves, as we continue to think about our own self-awareness when it comes to our relationship with God, why would God desire us to be perfect even as he is perfect? Well, it is found in the verses we just read, that we may be the children of our Father which is in heaven. You see, when God created us, when he formed us as his children, he wanted us to be just like him in how we looked, his image, in character, in our words, our deeds, and actions. Even as we, parents, desire our own children to look like us in physical traits, to speak like us, to have the same attributes that we have that make them our children, that gives them the distinction that they are our children, God desires the same for us. For God truly saw the potential in us when he created us, that we could be happy, joyful, and peaceful when we do his will, that we could dwell with one another in peace and harmony for eternity, growing in our love for one another and love for God. And even though when our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned, and God's ideal plan was thwarted, I sincerely believe that God still desires us to attain or strive to attain the perfection that he himself has, that we may experience even here the peace, the joy, the love, the fulfillment in our lives that we want deep in our hearts, that we so crave deep in our souls. God says, be perfect, even as I am perfect. That's his instructions for us. That's his commandment to us. Now you may ask, how can I attain to this high standard of perfection that God desires when I live in a world that is so imperfect? How can I live this high standard of perfection when I live in a world with so many stresses, so many cares, so many distractions, so many temptations, so many obligations, so many obstacles, and so many trials? My answer to you is that you cannot reach this perfection that God requires on your own. You can only reach this perfection through God's strength. You must also remember that God does not require you to be perfect all at once, but there is a process that He wants us to go through to reach this high standard. God wants us to remember that this process of perfection or sanctification comes in steps. And as we travel this path, God can give us the strength to climb each step along this path, as long as we are willing to submit to Him. You see, I believe that even in our church denomination, we have slowly gotten away from believing that we need to attain to this high standard of perfection in our lives, or even strive to attain to this perfection. We have become content to think that we don't need to give ourselves wholly to Him, maybe just some of ourselves. And we feel that that will suffice as far as our salvation is concerned. We may feel that tithes and offerings aren't as important, and we give less than what we should. We may feel that we don't need to love our brothers and sisters as much as we should, and we may gossip about them or criticize them, which may cause division in our church, instead of pray and love them. We may feel that our health isn't as important, and we eat foods that are not nourishing for us, and may even have such a poor diet that leads us to have cancer or heart disease, when God has given us the blueprint to live healthy, long-lasting lives. You see, as long as we always keep in mind and strive to attain the high standard of perfection that God desires us to have, then and only then can we truly experience the joy, peace, love, and happiness that God always intended us to experience when we follow His plan for our lives, when we strive to do His will. I would like us to turn to a very powerful scripture, Matthew 19:23-26. And we'll read that again. Matthew 19:23-26. It says, "Then said Jesus unto His disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." When His disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But then Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Here we see, as we look at the context of what Jesus is saying here, that for those who are rich or wealthy in this world, it is very difficult for them to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And we can relate the situation to the many situations in our own lives that we think that God is unable to work in. We may think that God can't help us in our financial situations, that He can't work to help us give back an honest tithe and offering. In the area of health, we may think that we can't live a healthy lifestyle, that our culture or our personal way of life will prevent us from keeping the health laws, and that it is inevitable that we will die of some disease or health condition because we just can't keep the laws of health given to us by God. In the area of Sabbath keeping, we may feel that the law of keeping the Sabbath is too difficult, that our jobs prevent us from keeping the Sabbath, that God can't find us a better job where we can keep the Sabbath. We may feel that it is okay to do our own pleasures on the Sabbath, such as watching TV, movies, and engaging in other entertainment that we know is truly not keeping the Sabbath. In the area of love and unity, We may feel that it is too difficult to love others. We may make excuses that it is a part of our culture, that the person is too different for us to love them, that person we are struggling to love and accept is too difficult to get along with. We may feel it is too hard and too difficult for us to live the way God wants us to live. And it is okay for us to come to church on Sabbath and just take our chances in judgment. But Jesus is saying here that if we try to live for God on our own efforts, we will fail. For he states, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With men, all of our efforts of living right is fruitless. But if we truly connect with God, all things are possible. So what are the steps or the process by which we can ultimately attain to the perfection God desires us to reach? I would like us to turn in our Bibles to 2 Peter 1, 4 through 11. 2 Peter 1, 4 through 11. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, which is moral excellence, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, which is having a healthy lifestyle, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, which is love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here we see that in order for us to be partakers of God's divine nature, in order for us to escape all of the corruption that is in this world, we have been given exceeding and precious promises that we can learn from and live by. And this scripture also goes on to say that we can grow in our Christian experience, adding or attaining to the attribute of faith, and then to faith, virtue or moral excellence, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance or a healthy lifestyle, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity or love. You see, in order for us to avoid being a part of the group in Matthew 7, where they list all the good things they have done, and God professes to them, I never knew you, we must be aware that in our Christian walk, as we walk this path of sanctification, we must always be growing in our walk. We must always be climbing along this pathway and not declining in our walk with God. You see, our Christian walk along this path of sanctification is like climbing a ladder, and each step that we walk up this ladder is another attribute that God desires us to have as we look to reach the perfection that he requires of us. But we can only continue this spiritual climb by connecting ourselves to the strength and power of God through prayer and studying the Word of God daily. For with men, this is impossible. With our own efforts, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You see, we may come to the step of virtue or moral excellence, and we may say to ourselves, or maybe even to our families, that this is impossible to attain to. We may say it's not in our nature. We can blame our past history, childhood emotional trauma, a dysfunctional upbringing, and not even attempt to have the virtue or the attribute of moral excellence. But what God is saying is that in your own strength, this is impossible, but in his strength, all things are possible. We may come to the step of temperance or a healthy lifestyle and give all types of excuses as far as why we can't keep the laws of health, whether it's our culture, to the way we were raised, to the fact that it is too difficult to keep those laws because of the stress and burdens of life. And God will remind you that in your own strength, if you're trying to do it by yourself, this is impossible. But if you connect to his strength, all things are possible. You may come to the step of charity or love, and you can tell yourself that there is no way I'm going to love this brother or sister, and come up with all types of excuses to personality differences, to a disagreement you may have had with them, to it's not in my culture to love everyone. And God admonishes you that in your own strength, you cannot love others, that this is impossible. But if you connect with his strength, all things are possible. We can truly live by his laws. We can keep the Sabbath. We can be patient. We can have brotherly kindness. We can have godliness if we just connect to the source that God created, to the source that created us all, which is God, that can equip us to be victorious if we just connect to the strength of God, our Father. And if we connect to him by praying unceasingly, by reading his word, and by following his directions, then we can be victorious. So next, let's turn to Psalms 119, 133. Psalms 119, 133. It says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Here we see, in order to not have any iniquity have dominion over us, in order for us to be able to climb this ladder or walk this path of sanctification, we must allow God to order our steps in his word. It is his word that guides us, that shows us how to live the way he wants us to live. And it is up to us to read God's word daily, that our steps can be ordered as we climb this ladder to the perfection that God wants us to attain to. Amen? Let's turn now to Psalms 37, 23 and 24. Psalms 37, 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Isn't that beautiful? You see, you may be walking in your Christian life, and God may be ordering your steps as you continue your climb up the ladder. But there may be stresses that come your way. There may be cares that come your way. It may be that you give in to your carnal nature and you fall down this ladder. But God is saying, I will be there to pick you up. You don't have to be discouraged when you fall. I can pick you up and you can continue up this ladder to the perfection I want you to reach. You see, the problem with us sometimes is that if we're falling a lot or making mistakes a lot in our Christian walk, we eventually begin to believe that climbing this ladder will be impossible and we can't attain to the perfection that God wants us to reach. Let me read that again. You see, the problem with us sometimes is that when we're failing a lot, we're making a lot of mistakes in our Christian walk, we eventually begin to believe that climbing this ladder will be impossible and we can't attain to the perfection that God wants us to reach. What God is saying is that if you fall on the path, if you fall multiple times on the path, I will always be there to pick you up. And as long as you consistently take my hand when you fall, I will get you back on the path to sanctification. You will not be utterly cast down or cast out from my presence. Just believe that I can forgive you, and not just forgive you, but ultimately cleanse you from your sin. All you have to do is remember that in your own strength, this is impossible. But if you connect to my strength, all things are possible. Let's turn to another promise in the Bible that encourages us if we might fall. It is found in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Amen? You see, if you are going through trials and stresses in this life, and you find yourself distrusting God more, and failing and falling in your Christian walk, if you're battling your carnal natures and evil habits you've developed, and find yourself falling a lot and making mistakes in your Christian walk, God is saying, though you may be troubled on every side, you don't need to be distressed. Though you are perplexed, you don't need to be in despair. Though you are persecuted, you're not forsaken. Though you're cast down, you don't have to be destroyed. For in our faults and our failures, in our evil habits and sin, we can put on the righteousness of Christ. We can ask for forgiveness and grace again and again, and know that God has forgiven us. We are clean with his blood. We are now accounted righteous because we have put on his righteousness. And now we can continue to strive to attain to the perfection, that God desires us to reach. For it says in the last part of this scripture that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. But with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, which means a defect in character or moral failing, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen? Here we see God's grace is sufficient for us. We don't have to worry about climbing this ladder. We don't have to worry about walking along this path of sanctification. For God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. All we have to do is choose to connect to that strength. That is our choice. That is our own decision. I love the scripture as well, because it tells us that not only should we bear our infirmities or persecutions or distresses or reproaches, it says we should glory in them, because it is only then that God can receive the glory for getting us through those times in our lives. For it is God's strength and power that helps us to continue to walk this path of sanctification, even though we are experiencing difficult trials, even though we may be reproached as we walk this straight and narrow path, even though we may experience persecution along this pathway. We can stay focused on climbing this ladder. We can continue to attain to the perfection that God desires us to have, because we have connected to the strength and power of God daily, even moment by moment. And as we continue to gain the victory over sin, we realize that it can't be us doing it. It must be God's power helping us. And we cry, glory to God, glory to God. We are gaining the victory in his name. We can't take the glory to ourselves, because it is only in God's strength that we can reach the perfection that he wants us to reach. What love God has for us. What care and compassion he has for us, that he won't just leave and forsake us to fulfill such an important direction, such as to be perfect as he is. He will give us the tools to reach that goal that he wants us to reach. All we have to do is align ourselves with his strength and power. For with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I would now like to touch briefly on the story of Jacob. For those who are not familiar with this story, Jacob and Esau, his brother, back in Bible times, were a part of God's commandment-keeping people during that day. Since Esau was the elder of the two, he was promised a birthright from his father Isaac, which was like an inheritance back in that day. Well, the story goes that Jacob deceived Isaac, his father, into giving him the birthright, then to Esau's brother. Isaac was very old at the time, and his sight was very poor, so Jacob was able to pull off the deception. This angered Esau very much once he found out what had happened, to the point where Jacob feared for his life and fled with his family, his wife, his children, his servants, etc., far away from Esau. During his exile, Jacob received a dream from the Lord. I would like to turn to Ellen White's writings about his dream. It's in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 184. And it says, "In this vision, the plan of redemption was presented to Jacob, not fully, but in such parts as were essential to him at that time. The mystic ladder revealed to him in his dream was the same to which Christ referred in his conversation with Nathanael. Said he, 'Ye shall see heaven and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.' Up to the time of man's rebellion against the government of God, there had been free communion between God and man." Okay, we're talking about Adam and Eve. Okay, Adam and Eve could see God, they could talk to him, etc. "But the sin of Adam and Eve separated earth from heaven, so that man could not have communion with his maker. Yet the world was not left in solitary hopelessness. The ladder represents Jesus, the appointed medium of communication. Had he not, with his own merits, bridged the gulf that sin had made, the ministering angels could have held no communion with fallen man. Christ connects man in his weakness and helplessness with the source of infinite power." So here we see that Christ represents the ladder that we are climbing in our Christian walk. You see, when sin entered the world, there was a bridge or a gulf that was created that we could no longer communicate with God. It was Christ that bridged that gap when he came to this world to live a sinless life and to die for us. Now, when we are climbing on this ladder, and should we fall into sin, should we fall many times in sin, and find ourselves troubled on every side and perplexed, and even cast down, we can cling on to that ladder, which is Christ. We don't have to leave the truth and leave our relationship with God and go into utter darkness and end up being destroyed. We can cling on to Christ and ask for forgiveness and grace for our sins and receive pardon for as many times as needed. We can appropriate or put on Christ's righteousness and know that we are now accounted righteous, and then continue to climb up the ladder to the perfection that God desires us to reach. Continue on in the story of Jacob and how he was able to reconcile with God for his great sin that he had done, and eventually reconcile with his brother. At some point, Jacob became homesick and wanted to return to his family, his parents and his brother, etc. Esau, once Jacob had fled from him, had thought that since Jacob was out of the picture, that he would have the birthright once again. But as soon as he had heard that Jacob was trying to return, he sought after Jacob to try and kill him and his family. During this time, Jacob had sent messengers to Esau's camp to try and make peace with Esau. But the messengers always came back to tell Jacob that Esau was still angry with him and wanted to do him and his family harm. As Esau was closing in, Jacob became very afraid and decided to pray to God all night and to plead for deliverance for him and his family. In Patriarchs and Prophets, it talks about that struggle. Bitterest of all was the thought that it was his own sin which had brought this peril upon the innocent. With earnest cries and tears, he made his prayer before God. Suddenly, a strong hand was laid upon him. He thought that an enemy was seeking his life, and he endeavored to wrest himself from the grasp of his assailant. In the darkness, the two struggled for the mastery. Not a word was spoken, but Jacob put forth all his strength and did not relax his efforts for a moment. While he was thus battling for his life, the sense of his guilt pressed upon his soul. His sins rose up before him to shut him out from God. But in his terrible extremity, he remembered God's promises, and his whole heart went out in entreaty for his mercy. The struggle continued until the near break of day, when the stranger placed his finger upon Jacob's thigh, and he was crippled instantly. It was Christ, the angel of the covenant, who had revealed himself to Jacob. The patriarch was now disabled and suffering the keenest pain, but he would not loosen his hold. All penitent and broken, he clung to the angel. He wept and made supplication, pleading for a blessing. He must have the assurance that his sin was pardoned. The angel tried to release himself. He urged, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." But Jacob answered, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Had this been a boastful, presumptuous confidence, Jacob would have been instantly destroyed. But his was the assurance of one who confesses his own unworthiness. Yet trust the faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God. Jacob had power over the angel and prevailed. Through humiliation, repentance, and surrender, this sinful, erring mortal prevailed with the majesty of heaven. He had fastened his trembling grasp upon the promises of God, and the heart of infinite love could not turn away the sinner's plea. Amen? What a beautiful experience for Jacob. So the story concludes that Esau receives a dream from the Lord to make peace with Jacob. And Esau and Jacob do make peace with one another, and Jacob and his family are saved. So what about us? In our own lives, many times Satan can do the same thing to us as he did to Jacob. He can make us feel overwhelming guilt, overwhelming shame, overwhelming low self-esteem for the sins we have done in the past and may even continue to do now in the present. We may find ourselves like Jacob, suffering from serious consequences for our sins. And as we try to walk this path of sanctification, as we try and climb this ladder to perfection, we can get discouraged and find ourselves hopeless to get out of the situation that we find ourselves in. But like Jacob, are we convicted that we should pray all night to ask for forgiveness, mercy, and grace for all the wrongs that we have done or maybe still doing, so we can receive the peace and the assurance that our sins are forgiven? Do we feel an overwhelming impression from the Holy Spirit to pray to God all night for his blessing, so that we can get out of the situation that we find ourselves in, that we will not let God go until he blesses us? As we try and climb this ladder to perfection, and as we reach a step that may be hard and difficult for us to attain to, do we feel a strong conviction to pray all night to the Lord that we can connect to his strength and power so that we can gain the victory? You see, sometimes that is what it's going to take to reach the perfection that God wants us to reach. And if we're trying to do it in our own strength, God pleads with us and says, "In your own strength, this is impossible, but with me, all things are possible." I would now like to review with you the reasons why this commitment to God and this walk with God is worthy of our time, effort, and sacrifice. Let's turn to Psalms 19, 7 through 11. Boy, time's going. Psalms 19, 7 through 11. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also then are the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." So here we see that if we want to become wise, if we want to become more enlightened, if we want ever-flowing joy in our hearts, even in the most adverse circumstances, then we must keep the commandments of God. We must allow his law to truly convert our souls. We are to desire his word more than fine gold. For in keeping his law, there is great reward. And you may come back to God and say, "I can't keep your commandments. It's too difficult. It's too hard. I'm going through too much stress. The cares of this life is too overwhelming. My disease, my infirmity, my reproach is too great." And God will come back and plead with you and say, "In your own strength, this is impossible. Keeping my laws is impossible in your own strength. But if you connect to my strength, all things are possible." Okay, let's go to our closing here. Time really went quick. So as we focused on self-awareness, we need to ask ourselves, is God worthy to be served? Is his law worthy to be kept? Is our commitment to God and sacrifices that we will make as we climb this ladder to perfection, are they worthy of all of our time and efforts? I know we have just talked about some of the benefits of our walk with God, but I want to focus on God's faithfulness to us in the past, his faithfulness to us now, and his faithfulness to us for our future in keeping his promises to us as we become victorious. God's faithfulness is what makes our Christian journey worthwhile and is a major reason why we should keep climbing the ladder to perfection. Psalms 89:13-18 says, "Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in their favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King." God is truly worthy of our commitment, sacrifice, and praise. 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8 reads, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. God is truly worthy of our commitment, sacrifice, and praise. 1 Corinthians 2:9, "But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Commenting on this, Ellen White says, "Heaven will be so beautiful, so glorious, so magnificent, we will forget in an instant all of the trials, sorrows, disease, suffering, and sacrifices that we had to experience here. God loves us so much that he has prepared something so great, we are not going to even remember what we've experienced here. God is truly worthy of our commitment, sacrifice, and praise." James 1:12 states, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. God is truly worthy of our commitment, sacrifice, and praise. So, to sum this all up, why are we here? Why do we come to church? Why do we participate in all of our church ministries? Why do we have a relationship with God? Are we doing all of the right things for the wrong reasons? Will we be a part of that group that in judgment will say all the wonderful works that they have done, and God replied to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Or is everything we do for God based on our love for God and our love for our fellow man? With men, in our own efforts, this is impossible. But with God, when we connect with his strength, all things are possible. And as we walk up this ladder to perfection, do we get to steps that we tell God that we will never attain to because of our unbelief, because we have allowed the cares, the stresses, the trials of this life to overwhelm us, and we feel too weak to follow all of God's commandments? Or will we glory in our infirmities, our reproaches, our necessities, so that God's strength can be made perfect in our weakness, so that he can receive the glory? With men, in our own efforts, this is impossible. But with God, when we connect to his strength, all things are possible. And as we continue to walk up this ladder to perfection, as we continue to walk this path of sanctification, when we fall into sin again and again, do we cling on to this ladder, which represents Christ? Do we cry out to God, have mercy upon me, O God, according unto thy loving kindness and tender mercies? Do we put on the righteousness of Christ and know that we have been accounted righteous and continue walking up this ladder? Can we pray all night, as did Jacob, that God can forgive us of our sins and grant to us the peace that comes when we know we have been forgiven and given grace? Can we pray and struggle with God all night, as did Jacob, that we can receive such a blessing from the Lord that will reconcile our relationships with our family members, our co-workers, our brothers and sisters in the church, people who we have hurt or wronged because of our sins? With men, in our own strength, in our own efforts, this is impossible. But with God, as we connect with his strength, all things are possible. May God bless us as we continue to climb up this ladder to perfection.